Ladies and gentlemen, family and friends, welcome back to another episode of the Hindsights podcast. Today, we have a special treat for you. Dr. Rob Kelly is a sought-after recovery expert who believes in treating the causes of addiction and not the symptoms. Dr. Kelly hosted Sober Celebs show on KLIF Radio in Dallas and currently hosts the Breakthrough Addiction podcast, featuring special guests discussing a variety of mental health issues. He has lectured on addiction and trauma at high-profile universities, national conferences, treatment facilities, public schools, churches, businesses, organizations, and hospitals. Dr. Kelly is currently the CEO of the Rob Kelly Recovery Group, an addiction and mental illness recovery coaching company he created based on expansive research and behavior studies that he conducted over the last 20 years, two decades in the game. Dr. Kelly shares his personal highs and lows as he struggled to overcome alcoholism in his highly recommended book, Daddy, Daddy, Please Stop Drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, family, colleagues, and friends, please welcome to the Hindsights podcast, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, the amazing Dr. Rob Kelly. Dr. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be here, guys. This is going to be a good show. Sit down and listen. Oh, my goodness.
Sit down and listen and pay attention. This is going to be great. Doc, before we really get into your journey, tell us, how did your story begin? Where did you come from? How were you raised?
I come from Manchester, back in the United Kingdom, even though I live in San Antonio, Texas right now, and we're currently. Grew up in a lower working class family. We didn't have a lot of money, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. I was a musician at an early age, age of nine. I was actually on stage playing professionally with my auntie and uncle because I come from a musical family. So, yeah, just grew up normally. Took my first drink at the age of nine. And then, you know, throughout my life, it kind of worked for me. It was amazing. Meet girls, play on stage, just doing some great stuff. So Mancunian by birth, Texas by choice.
Rob, what was your early adolescence like? Were you still in the band? What was going on?
It was good for me. You know, I had no complaints looking back, loving family. You know, I was on the road, like I said, at an early age. So the band or the group I was at the time became my family. And just no problems. You know, I wasn't great at certain subjects in school, but I was obviously music was my deal. I knew from an early age, probably six, seven, eight, that I wanted to be like my uncle Peter, who was a pro musician. So every night when he lived with us for a bit, he'd come home with his guitar and open it up and practice the songs for the weekend. And that's what I wanted to do, you know, full-time professional musician, be famous like every boy with a guitar, you know, and come up there. So, you know, I kind of followed that dream, and I was behind the scenes. I played at Abbey Road as a session musician. At the age of 17, 18, I played with Elton John, David Bowie, Queen, all them amazing guys. But I have what's called the alcoholic mind, or the addictive personality, is that when I'm going to do something, I do it. And if I'm not going to do something, I've never played basketball, Kevin. Never. Somebody said the other day, you want to come play basketball? I said, never played it. Well, come and learn. Don't want to learn. Yeah. I'm 16 years old. I'm going to learn, but I'm not going to be any good at it, so I'm not playing. That's the mindset I have, you know. I can't walk into a cafe or a shop, and I said to my friend, what are you having, Billy? He goes, give me a sandwich and a Coke. Oh, brilliant. What do you want, Rob? Give me two sandwiches, four Cokes, two bags of chips, and a packet of peanuts. I can't just have one.
Can't just have one. No. Like when you open the bag of chips, you got to eat the whole bag of chips.
Yes.
The whole thing's got to go.
So true.
Dr. Kelly, let's really get into it. You talk about living in your life with crippling alcoholism. What led to that, and how did you overcome it to go and write the book, Daddy, Daddy, Please Stop Drinking? Bring it down.
Vast research and vast torture to myself. And at the end of the day, I lost everything. So I was married with two beautiful daughters, ages 1 and 3. I was drinking every day, you know, looking in, it was just a ticking time bomb, man. You know, everyone I come into contact with, they affected and infected with my alcoholism by traits and behavior. So alcohol has 1% to do with alcoholism, same with drugs. It's not the problem. So even when I stopped drinking, I was still an idiot. I still was very selfish, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it really took a toll on me. You know, I remember having a first child and thinking, you know, I'm never going to drink again. And I actually took a Bible to the hospital and put my hand on the Bible and swore to God, my wife, the child, and the doctor, I'd never drink again. 4 hours later, I'm wasted somewhere. Second child came along, did exactly the same, you know. But it wasn't so many years on of losses and heartbreak and failures and homelessness that, you know, I was on the streets for 14 months, so 7 suicide attempts. And on 2 occasions, it worked. I was actually dead and they brought me back to life on the side of a wet, smelly, stinky road back in Manchester. 14 months on the street. And one morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I dropped down to my hands and knees in a back area where old factories and offices are. There's nobody around. And I started crying like a baby from my stomach, sobbing, pouring down with rain, sobbing. Thing is, Kevin, I wasn't sobbing because I've lost my children, my wife, my money, my businesses, my family. I was crying because the first time in my life, I realized I couldn't stop drinking. And it was right there. And then I knew that, you know, it was no more. But for me, and I looked up to the sky because everything was taken off. We didn't believe in God, high powers, universe, everything had gone. Hated everybody and everything. Like everybody had given up on me. And I looked into the sky and said, if there is a God up there, I can't do this on my own anymore. 30 seconds later, middle of nowhere, this guy walks around the corner, Derek, and asked me, do I want help? He took me back to his house. He let me shave, bathe for the first time in a year. He fed me. That's where my journey started. Wow. So there's a lot going on. There's crazier stuff than that when I met a guy called John. But right there, I knew, you know, there could be a chance. Because, you know, I always had the, and I know this, Craig, I don't know whether you ever felt this, Kevin, but even on the streets, even at my lowest low, I stabbed people, I beat people up for money, for alcohol. If I couldn't get it, I stole it, obviously, or smashed the windows in the middle of the night, go in and get some crazy, crazy behavior. But I always knew in the back of my mind that I would be somebody and it would be about recovery of the disease. And nobody understands, well, very few people understand, guys. Everyone thinks about the alcohol, it's about the drugs. It's not. It really isn't. So about 15 years ago, you know, I got into the neuroscience of it. But as I've come off, all the things I've done, people kept saying all the time, Kim, you've got to write a book. You've got to write a book. I'm like, nah, I'm not writing a book. You know? And this is why it's important, guys, to surround yourself with people that want something for you and not from you. Because I to Dallas 18 years ago from the UK. I came for 2 weeks for a tour and I never went home. But all the time I was like, do you know what, guys? Should I write a book? And they were all like, no, you're stupid, Rob. You're not an author. And 4 years ago, we moved to San Antonio for my wife's Texan for her family. And I said to my friends, you think I should write a book? And they were all over it. Oh, my God, yeah, you've got to write a book. So I wrote a book. So show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's very important for me now to surround myself with the right people. And I don't surround myself by anybody that I don't build up and they don't build up me. I just don't suffer fools anymore. You know, it's been an incredible journey.
Surround yourself with the people that can change your life just by being there, by being open and honest with you, and by letting you know that you have a future and you have possibilities ahead of you. Incredible. Doc, how did you start your out in the business of helping people overcome addiction? You obviously you overcame it yourself. You got better. You're healing. You're on a journey right now. But what was the impetus to you giving back to others and helping them stop their addictions?
I went to university by a fluke, but part of the Freemasons. I was joined at an early age. Long different story. But I went to a university and I got my PhD in psychology. So all my family, well, most of my family suffer, or their children suffer from alcoholism or addiction. So as I'm growing up, my first job was a policeman coming out of college, and then different other jobs. But I found that after I met John, which is a crazy story, I found that when I talk to people and work with people, 5% of the psychology and 95% of experience being on the streets, losing everything, found that people started to get well and started to really enjoy life. So I started with doing free. I was working free for about 4 years, 5 years. And, you know, getting odd jobs doing something else, but I'd work with people at Free. So I knew there was something in this. And the craziest thing is, Kevin, is when I was one-on-one with somebody, I felt better. I mean, you must know yourself, Kevin, when you tell your story, you go and speak, and you feel better. I felt better every time. But what I didn't know then is dopamine was released in my brain, one of the four chemicals we need to be happy every day. But dopamine was released in their brain. So it was a win-win situation for me. So only when I came over here 18 years ago, I was teaching and practicing, and the medical fraternity was like, this is stupid. We're going to sue you. We're going to strip your license off you if you carry on practicing like this. But I knew that the old system regarding the medical fraternity was broken. Yeah. And I knew that somebody needs to step out and take the punches on the chin from all these guys that want to see me sink. And I got a guy once whose father was very wealthy, and he said, hey, I'm going to give you this amount every month to do a 6-month contract with him. And that's when it started. Then my first check coming in, going, wow, that's awesome. But put it in the bank, forget about it. So many years, like 18 years on, you know, I work with celebrities, I work with movie stars, I work with all them guys, musicians. But 25% of my company, Kevin, is pro bono. So every single wow. therapist and coach in my company has to carry a pro bono. If they don't, they don't get any work from me. So we have this mentality of recovered alcoholics and addicts. And we've come away from that a bit now into childhood trauma and performance coaching. You know, what we do now is we own a coaching business because we need to step out of the licensing world because they won't let us do what we need to do. So very important that we did that. And also me and my wife give around $150,000 back into communities. You know, let's say there's an alcoholic and his wife take the children, and he's getting sober but needs to appear in court. We'll buy him a suit. We'll pay for his legal fees. We'll put an apartment. I mean, it's always giving back. I don't know how much money I've got in the bank. I just know that I'll never go broke right now. It's all I need to know. I do not get into that. I do not get into the financial side because that would, you know, my ego might start to kick up. But it's important that I bless somebody, Kevin, every time I leave the house monetary, because I'm in that position that I can. And that keeps me going today is, you know, I get up every morning, I do my three things in the morning, call my morning work. I go out there and I bless people all day long. And it's like when I do that, my life gets better.
It's like Derek and John who helped you get to a better place. And now you're paying it forward. You're giving back to so many people in need. And you're helping them find light at the end of their tunnel. That's incredible. God, I'm loving your story, brother. Okay. Doc, you do more to help people than a lot of folks can say they do. I think that that's obviously really clear. What else do you do to help people overcome obstacles in their lives besides just beating addiction? What are your other modalities? What are the other things you do?
Well, we studied everything we say and talk about today that I will cover. We've studied, trial, tested, researched everything we do. So we found out that the mind is stronger than the brain. Actual fact, the mind, which you can't see, feel, hear, touch, it sits inside the brain. Hence the saying, mind over the brain is matter, matter. So we get up in the morning and we teach people to program the mind to run the brain during the day, and that literally nothing is impossible. So when I used to say that like 10 years ago, Kevin, people used to always snap back trying to be smart ass. Oh, you know, I could never be president of the United States. Hang on a second. Forget your political views for a second. We had a businessman with no political experience whatsoever running our country for 4 years. Don't dare tell me that you can't achieve your dream. Don't dare tell me. So 80% now is the performance, is the mind, is the neuroscience behind what you can actually achieve, because nobody knows. It would blow their mind if they knew what they were capable of doing. And I could tell you, 8,000 people I've worked with, just over 8,000 stories of people come back and become successful. Now, whatever success looks like for you guys, it could be $1 million a year, which not that hard to do once you get this sorted out. Or it could be becoming getting your children back or being the best son. I mean, their dreams are there. But when you think about it, using, you know, lots of things like the neuroscience and, you know, quantum physics, you realize that everything that you dream of and concentrate on, you can achieve. The amount that you can achieve is impossible. But what was important for me is when we get people there, that they give back as well. You know, so it's really important that you really need to know the neural pathways, the amygdala, basal ganglia, and the hypothalamus, what that actually does inside the brain, when balanced correctly and run by the mind, you can achieve anything. And we've proved it 8,000 times with people over the last 30 years, you know? I mean, it is. So that's what we concentrate on today. Come into me with a dream, come into me with a background with childhood trauma, and I will turn you into a successful person. Again, whatever that looks like. Everyone thinks it's money. Guys, listen, I've been poor, I've been dirt poor, I've been homeless, I've rough of the roughest council estates or the projects over here, stabbings every day where I come from, beating people up every day where I come from. But listen, there is, you can do anything you want to do. You can build a business. And when people come to me and go, I want to build a business, my answer is always the same. Why are you building a business when you can build an empire? And they get a little freaked out. They go, what? And we teach them how to do that. And we help them along the way. And we'll build the websites. And we'll put them in under a job. We'll get them interviews. Well, whatever I need to do to get people to there. You see, I'm probably like you, Kevin. I want people that I work with to do better than me. People going, well, I'm the best in the world. No, I want you to be, I'm here. I want you to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I really want success from you. Again, I want something for you, not from you.
Yeah, you're taking the ego out of it and putting in the true giving into your nature. You're giving back just for the sake of giving.
Yes.
You're not to receive. Obviously, when you give back, you get that dopamine hit. They get that dopamine hit. You change the brain to change your life. But you're absolutely making waves, which is it's so incredible. Okay, you've said it a few times. You've talked about neuroscience. How does literally your neuroscience coaching program work? I want to hear all about it.
Well, we have to remember that everybody has trauma in their life. Everybody. I don't care where you come from. What do you do? $10 million house. We were rich. When did you see Dad? Oh, Dad was gone all week because he was working. There's your abandonment right there. So everyone has alcohol addicts have deeper trauma because we're more sensitive. So what happens today is, let's say a young girl coming up 8, 9, 10, 11, sees Dad on a regular basis coming home drunk and they get into a fist fight, him and mom. Dad and mom get into a fist fight. This becomes a normal working part of the mind and to expect it. The couple of things that child learns, first of all, the key in the door. When the key goes in the door, does it go straight in the lock? It's going to be a safe night. Does it jangle around trying to get in the lock? Dad's drunk, run for safety. Now, when she leaves that household and goes on, you know, teens or early 20s and dates, goes to college, whatever, she's going to attract the same guy that ends up drinking too much and ends up beating her. And that might blow people's mind, but it's not. It's learned behavior and neural pathways that are built to self-sabotage. Because you know, as a child, it's really good now playing with mom, but when Dad comes home, so I shoot down there and the bad neural pathways take over. So most people perform at about 40, at the most 50% who don't, you know, do a program like this. So what it is like we change neural pathways. And I'm going to give you three things before we finish, guys. And if you do this, your life will change from tomorrow. So we need to change a few things in the head. We need to go back to the scene of the crime, which is the trauma, and find out what's gone on. So we uncover the scene, discover what it's all about, and then we discard it. And then we train the mind to train the brain to use good neural pathways, not bad neural pathways. So everything we see here, feel, touch, is stored in the subconscious brain. This is that one day at a time you hear guys in 12-step meetings. It's not a meeting thing. It goes way before that. Subconscious, conscious, Freud talks about it all of the time. All the bad stuff is stored. Everything we hear, touch, feel, see from birth is stored there, okay? So what happens is the prefrontal cortex is our decision maker. It does a great job. It comes up with a solution to my problem in milliseconds. The only problem with that is it doesn't have to be the correct answer. Mm-hmm. So what happens with people still suffering from trauma is the prefrontal cortex calls and it goes straight to the subconscious brain. So the subconscious brain is telling us never going to be tall enough, thin enough, rich enough, or blonde enough. And never really. So when you get somewhere like an interview like that, they hear mom or dad or a caregiver saying you're a piece of crap, you're never going to amount to anything subconsciously, and they never get the job. The idea is, instead of walking out the door like this with the bad person, we need to do our morning work and change the way we think and act and behavioral science and walk out with this guy leading. So the conscious mind always makes the right decision, always believes that he can be a success. So you got subconscious and conscious. But listen, during the night when we sleep, have a guess who wakes you up in the morning? It's this guy, the subconscious, bad guy, bad decisions, everything. So unless you train this in the morning, you do your three things in the morning, you do it every single day. Different parts of the brain set every 24 hours. So if you can do this every morning to set out, you'll see your life taken off. And the other thing I'll mention is oxygen. The presence of oxygen equals the lack of disease, period. Every disease in the body, cancers, growths, whatever it is, start in a hypoxic area of the body. So in a normal circadian rhythm sleep pattern, between the hours of 2 and 5 o'clock in the morning is when our body is at most repair, it's at its lowest. It's also when most people die of natural causes, because they're low, very low. So one of the reasons why nobody ever has woke up laughing in the morning from sleep is lack of oxygen. So when we get up in the morning, you need to start doing that oxygen. One of the reasons why the runners and the gym guys out there feel so good when they go to the gym is not the exercise, it's this in between sets. When we flood the body with oxygen, we're only getting 25 to 30% of our lung capacity, guys, on a daily basis. We should be getting 100%. The brain's alert, the central nervous system is alert, repair is doing 24 hours a day, get the oxygen flooded throughout the body, and that, put with behavioral science, equals a great life.
Wow. Did you all hear that? He just broke it down. What you need to do is breathe. All right. It's almost too simple.
It is, but what you got to remember, guys, let me give you the three things.
Yeah.
Don't remember, when we get up 25%. So listen, guys, what I want you to do from tomorrow is when you get up is do 20 exaggerated breaths in and out. First thing in the morning, hold on to the bed. You're going to go dizzy. 20 times, guys. Get that oxygen flooded in. Okay, go in the bathroom. How do we change neural pathway? Okay. Instead of brushing with the right hand, brush with the left with your teeth, right for a week, right. We're going to change the routine, change them neural pathways into the humdrum routine. Okay, the next thing is very important. When you stand 6 feet away from the mirror, you don't see any blemishes. It's the way the opticals work. You don't see blemishes. When you stand near a mirror, we see all our blemishes, like shaving or women with the makeup. So I want you to stand 10 feet away from the mirror and say, I love you 10 times. I love you. I love you. We're stacking that subconscious brain. We're stacking it full of I love yous. Three things every morning when you go out, your life will change. And if it doesn't, A, you're not doing it right, or B, you don't really want to. Because it's impossible not to change. We're flooding with oxygen. We're changing neural pathways. You know, we're giving that subconscious brain plenty of I love yous. Because at the end of the day, we act today like our people around us, parents, caregivers, taught us how to act. A measurement, which you can pass down depression to your children and stuff like that, and learn behavior. Don't tell anybody in the house where we live on this, on the project. If somebody calls their house, tell them we live on the nice part of town. So I was taught to lie at an early age. You've got to address that, guys. You've got to address it. Otherwise, you're never going to live to the full capacity of your life.
You know, you made a good point there about the looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. I used to deal with a lot of self-loathing, and part of the self-loathing included the I hate yous, the you're useless, you're worthless, you have no value. When I started, and this was not, I did this organically. No doctor told me to do it, but I did this organically. I started saying, every time I heard the I hate you, I would say, no, I love you, Kevin. Every time I heard that you were useless, I said, no, Kevin, you have value. Every time I heard, Kevin, you're an idiot, I would say, you're a genius. And I started saying that every day, and the other voices disappeared. And then at some point during, you know, after 6 months of doing that, I didn't need to say it anymore. It was just natural. It just was happenstance.
Outside voice and outside voice, you know.
Outside
voice. Whoever shouts loud is going to get heard. So if you're at the back over it, always never worth anything. Father told you never amount to anything. You're a piece of crap. Da 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 da. And you replace it like you did with I love you. You're amazing. Just watch the internal dialogue, guys, or external dialogue. You know, I'll drop a pen on the floor. Oh, you idiot.
Yeah.
Don't say that, guys. Because that's being dragged by the subconscious brain. And when you go for that girl, that house, that job, that car, this guy is going to go, you stupid idiot.
Yeah.
And back off.
Bruce Lee said, and he's not the first person to say it, but Bruce Lee said, never give yourself negative self-talk. He said, always talk to yourself in a kind way. Because if you don't, you will start to believe those words and they will dictate your behavior and they will decide your life.
Exactly. Now, well, if I tell you a lie now, Kevin, you might believe it, you might not. But if I told you a lie often enough, you're going to believe it. But guess what? If I told you real often enough, I'm going to start to believe it.
Yeah.
So if we're being told by these people, you know, you crap, you shouldn't do this, you can't do this, you can't do. I just lost 150 pounds in the last 18 months. And people said at the age of 60, it's impossible to stop listening to them guys.
Yeah.
You know, I love the story with Tom Cruise and he's doing that, the latest film. He goes on the motorbike up the cliff and he went to the safety guy and he said, hey, safety guy, this is what I want to do. And the safety guy said, you can't do that. It's too dangerous. What does Tom Cruise? He fired him and got another safety guy. And he went, oh, you can do that. And he did. That's life, guys. If you've got people around you going, get rid of them. Get rid of those.
Yeah.
There's one person in your family, by the way, who wants you to fail. Get rid of them and bring them solid friends in there. Every time you see them, or if you don't even to see them, phone call, whatever it is. Oh, my God, you look amazing today. You look fantastic today. That goes to the soul, to the heart, and to the mind, and to the brain. That you, because we can't be our own measuring stick. We only know we're good because people tell us we're good. We only know we're attractive because people tell us we're attractive. Guys, listen to this real carefully, guys. My mom and dad died some years ago, 6, 7 years ago. And I was in the house trying to clear up all the old stuff. And we've got this big box of photographs. Now, I used to be a bodybuilder when I was about 16, 17, 18, and with a friend. And I heard my friend, he go, hey, Rob, look at this. It was a black and white photograph. Not as if it was years ago, but it was just a black and white photograph. And I'm there doing this, and he's there doing this. And we went, oh, my God. Look how good we looked. Look how attractive. Look at the, oh, my God. And my friend says, those were the days, Rob, weren't they? And I started to think, at the time, we didn't know that those were the days. We didn't know how attractive we were. I don't go with more girls. How confident we were, which made me think, what if today is one of those days?
Yeah.
What if today is one of those days that you're going to look back? So I'm going to go out. I'm going to storm life. I'm going to do things I'm not supposed to do. I drive a crazy car, dressed crazy clothes. I don't care. It's like, why wouldn't you? People from trauma living in a traumatic life get two lives in one lifetime. The traumatic living life and the living free. Wouldn't you give anything to live free and be successful at whatever you do? And unless you have a disease or a brain damage, or it's possible to every single person. And that's the belief that we're trying to get over, because there are some people now sat at home going, yeah, that's crap. I couldn't do that. You are wrong, my man, because whoever's listening to this, if you get all the evidence together that you're going to fail, and I get all the evidence together of you're going to succeed, and we went to court, you'd have a piece of paper. I'd have 20 boxes full of paper. The judge would kick you out of court for wasting his time. That's what people need to know. Stop saying it impossible. Start saying I'm possible.
Stop saying I can't, I won't, I don't, and say I do, I will, and I must.
Boom.
All right, doctor, you're a business coach. How do you help entrepreneurs find a balance and a better balance sheet?
Balance is very, very important. Obviously, entrepreneurs, they're either all or nothing guys, you know, and that balance is really important. So by using stuff like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, how we speak to ourselves internally, and somatic experience and stuff like that, is get that balance and believe that there's the A and there's the B. We're going to get our Z, the A to Z, okay? And that, how we plan that down with milestones. And then the biggest thing I tell people is don't have a plan B. Because if you have a plan B, throw plan A away. It's not going to work, guys. So when I was bodybuilding, Arnold Schwarzenegger came over to Manchester and I was nominated to pick him up, me and my friend, took him to his hotel. And I was speaking to him one night. And man, if you think he speaks broken English now, you should have heard him back in the late 70s. So we took him back and I was intrigued by this guy. I was intrigued that it must be so disciplined to look like him. And so we were joking around and I said, well, you know, the bodybuilding is great, Arnold, but what are you going to do in the future? Now, he was a Mr. Nobody. He just released an underground film called Pumping Iron. And he said, I'm going to do three things. And we went, oh, good, let's hear it. And he said, first of all, I'm going to be the highest paid movie star in the world. And we're like, I don't know, we love you, man, but they're not going to ask you. Can't speak properly. Not going to ask you. Right? So we had a little chuckle, and he said, number two, I'm going to become a governor of a state, preferably California. And we're like, yeah, because I thought you had to be born in America. I was like, yeah.
Get out of here.
That's he not going to happen. Right? And then he said, the third one, he said, I'm going to marry into the Kennedy family. Check, check, and freaking check. And I learned a lot from that man, that if you want to do something, it has to be the proportions that you do it with the balance, with the vision, and nobody can stop you. And then you become humble. The ego goes, you give back, and you become that person you always wanted to be. Like today, I still drive up to my house, Kevin, and go home from the street to this house that I sometimes still don't think I belong in. I get into my car, I drive to my office. It's like, I've started acting like in my own film. He's like, why wouldn't I? You know, oh, you can't do that. Okay. Biggest saying, guys, listen to this. You can't do that, Rob. Don't be so stupid, Rob. Life's not like that, Rob. Says who?
Says who? Only you.
Yeah, me and my wife got married the second day with a little tip about nothing. And she said, that's the way marriage is. And I said, this way it come from. I said, says who? And she went, wow. I said, let's make our own marriage up. Let's make our own. It says who? These guys that are making these rules up don't have the balls to go out and do what you've done or you are doing. That's the problem. Get out of that. Get out of that cesspit that everybody's trying to drag you back. Get out of it. Oh, well, I'm being ego. Get out of it. Because if you get out of it, guys, you can help more people. If you earn $1 million a year, you can help more people. It's not ego. It's helping another human being take a step up from where they are. And I'm going to do something at the end of this podcast that blows people's mind. I only do it on the best of the best, but I'm going to give my phone number out. And if you're struggling, you're going to call me. And it's never, we're never going to sell anything to you. I'm going to give you 15 minutes my time to you that's going to change your mind. I'm going to give you a pep talk in 15, 20 minutes that will change your life. If it doesn't, guys, I'm going to send you $100 for wasting your time. You have to believe that you can change. You have to believe that you can change. Otherwise, if you're stuck in that humdrum life, what's the point? I tell alcoholic addicts all the time, if you're stuck in the same place as you was drinking, go drink. Go drink. Because what's the point? What's the point of sitting in a 9-to-5 job that you hate? What's the point? What's the point in mulling around and never doing anything? What's the point? Because it ain't about you. It ain't about me. Do you know what it's about? Being there or saying something or giving somebody $2 at the gas station or whatever and change their life right there and then. And if you're not changing the world on a daily basis, what the fuck are you doing with life? Because it ain't worth it, guys.
That's right. You know, I want to talk to you briefly about something because you sparked something in me. My great uncle, Kevin Joseph Ryan, who I'm named after, my dad's Patrick Kevin, I'm John Kevin, and we're all named after Kevin Joseph Ryan, my great uncle. And he was 30 years drunk during my dad's life. But he was 30 years sober during my life.
Wow.
And from the age of 15 on, I would go every year as he got his chip at AA. And I would watch these storytellers get up there and share their life's journey and their most harrowing moments and their most troubling, traumatic times. And I watched them do it with guts and bravery and honor. And it was heartfelt. It was powerful. But that's where I learned to tell stories was from the most broken people in the world. And I would go every chip I would go, I would even go to the meetings in between those meetings. And I would meet these people that some of them were in the darkest space of their lives, but because Uncle Kevin could do it, they could too. And it's my understanding that Bill W. of AA brought my great uncle Kevin into AA. And what he told him was, he said, Uncle Kevin, I'm going to save your life, but you have to save as many lives as humanly possible until the day you die. And what ended up happening, Uncle Kevin's funeral, he died of pancreatic cancer, and it broke my heart watching him go. And when Uncle Kevin left this world, and when we had his funeral, 25 people stood up and said, Uncle Kevin saved my life. It was unbelievable. And so I imagine you're doing the same thing on your in your world and even on an even grander scale. So I just want to give you kudos and give you some appreciation from my Uncle Kevin, who, if he was here, he would be really appreciative of all you've done. To me, to you, thank you for what you're doing. Because it's incredible. Yeah.
So much. It's beautiful, man. I love my life today and I love everything around me. But, the losses, if you're doing the right thing, guys, and you're moving forward and you're successful, again, whatever that looks like, it's not money, by the way. I tried that, driving a brand new Porsche to my brand new offices, big Rolex on, miserable as crap. It doesn't do that. But when you do the right things start to happen in your life that you thought would never be repaired. So I didn't see my daughter for 30 years. She got taken off at the age of 3. You know, I stabbed my wife one night because she won't let me fall 3 times. Well, let me finish my bottle of vodka. You know, I had to come home and they took the children off of me. But 4 years ago, my oldest daughter, Charlie, got into contact with me in the middle of the night. Hey, Dad. She called me Dad, Kevin. She called me Dad on a text. I don't believe what I've heard about you. I've got some good news. I want to see you. So I text her back and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm crying. My wife's crying. It's like, oh my God. So we flew over there. We within a flight, I got my assistant to book a flight within 4 hours of the text. And we were on a flight back to England. And they got there, came to the door. And I was holding my wife's hand and all the bad stuff started to creep in a little bit. What kind of father was you? And she opened the door unexpectedly without us knocking. And man, I fell into her arms. We cried, we laughed. And then she looked me in the face and said, Dad, I've got something to show you. And she walked me into her front room and she handed me my 3-month-old granddaughter. Now, right there on then, I knew I was doing something right, you know. And she said she wanted to go back to school. So we sent her back to school to cover, what we do. And about 12 months ago, she opened my Manchester office in the UK as my lead therapist. So, and I have another daughter called Abigail that I've not seen for the same amount of time. But I always believed that it would happen, you know. So, Kevin, with hand on heart, I tell you this. 3 days ago, Abigail emailed me after all them years and says, I don't believe what they same as Charlie. So things come back, guys. See, for me, if somebody came to me tomorrow and said, I'll give you $1 billion right now in cash, but you can't work with anybody else going forward, I'd turn that down in a freaking heartbeat. Because when you do the right things happen. And you have to start believing that because it's about changing lives. It's about moving forward. It's about getting things back that you've lost. And no family is unrepairable. I've seen some miracles, man. I've seen guys walk out of our program going to see fathers that molested them all their life until they make amends. And now them two guys will live together as father and son, enjoying life. Mom died, unfortunately. But the miracles that are available every day, guys. The problem is you're not aware of them, or you're not ready to accept them, or you don't see them because you're walking around like this.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, with them blinkers on, we only see
blinders on.
All these things are happening. You know, the world is full of opportunities. And you know, what we do is we don't do miracles, we don't do that. What we do is get you ready to see the miracle and to take that chance and opportunity. And like I say, if you've ever seen an actor or actress or public speaker or whatever that's gone from there, nothing to wham there, they've probably come through this program because, you know, we believe that things are possible. Anything's possible. Mm.
Dr. Rob Kelly, I want to ask you one more question. And this is an important one, so take your time. What would you say to someone living with devastating addiction today, someone listening, viewing, or watching this podcast, to help them find hope and the ability to defeat their substance use issues once and for all?
2 things I want to tell you guys. First of all, I want to tell you to start dialogue with somebody. It's not a dirty disease anymore. We don't play that crap. Start dialogue with somebody. You know, your mom, your parents, your wife, your friend, or whatever it is. Start dialogue. Go, hey, I think I might have a problem. You know, get it out into the open because it's possible. The second one I want to tell you guys, if you're in that place that Kevin just described, 214-600-0210 is my personal cell phone number. Text me because I'm crazy busy, obviously. And I will text you back almost immediately and we'll arrange a 20-minute phone call that I will change your life with. And, you know, don't think you can't text me. I'm the guy that gave his children up for alcohol. I'm the guy that stabbed his wife 3 times one night. I'm the guy that does horrible things. And not this guy you see on the TV and forget the books and all that stuff that keeps the wife happy and pays the mortgage. me, I'm in the trenches, and I will always be in the trenches. So I want you to hold on to that, guys, and don't just think it's an awful, oh yeah, no. Give my children away for alcohol, guys, just like you. One person helping another, feet in the trenches, reaching for the stars, and so can you.
Give that number very slowly one more time.
214-600-0210. Just text with it. Hey, because I won't have your number. I heard you on the Kevin Hines show. I'd love to have a 15-20 minute chat. We're not going to sell you anything. I do not want your business. I've got plenty of money, thank you. I only deal with 4 people a year. And then obviously the pro bono's backed up a little bit, but we'll get to you eventually. Just one person who's figured life out, trying to get another person to follow the dream.
Ladies and gentlemen, family and friends, colleagues, Dr. Rob Kelly on the Hindsight's podcast. What a phenomenal episode to kick off this week. Thank you, Dr. Rob. You are incredible. We're grateful for you. Friends, share this podcast so many more people can get the help they so deserve and so desire today. Take care, be well, and be here tomorrow.